I am Nkosinathi Ndlovu, and this is TCS Plus, brought to you today by EdgeTech and IBM.
It is now close to 18 months since AI educator and researcher Andre Kapathy coined the term vibe coding, the use of natural language in combination with AI tools to write, edit, and deploy code. Since then, a number of AI coding tools have come to market. IBM's own offering is called IBM Bob, an AI-powered development assistant primarily aimed at the enterprise software market. Joining me virtually to talk about it is David Spurway. He is the IBM Power AI and Security Principal for Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. Hello, David, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much indeed for having me.
Only a pleasure. David, if we could perhaps begin on a historical note, I know that IBM Bob's origins kind of stem from an earlier IBM product called IBM i. Could you just draw the link between the two?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So as you say, Bob has come around through a couple of iterations. We originally had a product that was actually called Watson X Code Assistant, which was particularly designed for the package called IBM i. IBM i is a kind of a group of 50 plus different elements of software packages brought together to run industries and solutions for industries all over the world. They run all sorts of different computing systems for companies all over, but they have been around for 30 plus years. And so where we are is that some of this code has been around for a very long time, and the people that wrote it may have now moved on and retired. And so some of it can be a little bit on the impenetrable side. And so the original product, as you say, it's been an evolution, but the Watson Code Assistant was originally created for us to go into this code and explain it. Now, what is this and what can we do with this? And then the idea, of course, was that we could go into, as you say, with vibe coding, begin to do more than just explain it and get larger. But actually we found over the iteration that the sort of ideal solution was a combination of different models behind the scenes. And so the solution was IBM Bob. And IBM Bob can call upon a number of different models depending on the task you're giving it at the time to be able to look at. Yes. And IBM i has been extremely successful. So again, we have some of these older forms of code which can do with explaining. IBM i people, the people running the IBM i systems all over the world, many of them are beginning to age and approach retirement, but the actual business logic built into these things is vital for the actual business that it is running. And so to be able to use this new form of AI code assistant to be able to be a partner developer to sit alongside and explain what is going on has been extremely useful, and we can start there as you like.
Does that then suggest that teams that have these legacy stacks such as IBM i or perhaps mainframes are the primary audience for Bob, or does Bob's capabilities kind of expand into other domains?
It expands into other domains. You're absolutely right that we have actually had great success with this kind of legacy world where the code can be written in older formats and look a little bit old and be a challenge to read. And it's been a very fertile ground for IBM Power, IBM Bob rather, to be able to work with. Something like 70% of our sales so far around the world have been targeted at those kinds of things. But actually, you had it exactly right. It can do much more than that. It can do the IBM i side, and then the same thing, you don't need to buy anything else, can then expand and do more with this as well. And so it can absolutely go beyond the IBM i world to do much more than just that code and be able to help with other things. And I've been doing some of that myself.
All right. So talking about what Bob can do, there's a lot of, I think the term is anthropomorphization, giving human qualities to inanimate objects. Yes. Bob has a name. Bob has qualities like it's a development partner. Can you tell me about some of the qualities that actually give it that attribute, that it's a partner and not just an IDE?
Yes, absolutely fair. We in the UK, as I'm sitting here at the moment in the UK, we use more tokens than most other countries in the world, because we do indeed use them a little bit, like you say, treating them like humans, saying thank you, saying please, and those sorts of things. So the tokens have to be used up in that world. But you're absolutely right. We treat it as a development partner. And Bob has this concept of different modes that depending on exactly what it is you want it to focus upon, be that writing code, or maybe going in and explaining what you've got, or maybe planning for a larger project, then it can wear, if you will, different hats. Again, if you have an image of Bob the Builder in your head, you've already got the idea of hats going on. And so you've got the different hats that it can use to begin working in this kind of different world. If you want it to just write code, it has a code mode. And it's great for that. And it will create code and be able to work with natural language and create code that could be IBMI code, or it could be Python, it could be whatever other language you might want it to create. Mm. But it also has this concept of, as I say, of asking. If I don't want it to make code, but I want it to spend a bit more time explaining what it's seeing, I put it into ask mode, point it at what it is I want to look at, and then it can explain it and be able to explore that and doesn't need to create code at that point. But one of the things that it can make, because it's a code assistant, is use code to create diagrams. There's this concept of a mermaid diagram created with code. So the code assistant can go into what it's looking at, use the ability to understand code and create these things to give you pictorial representations of what this business logic is, all wrapped in. And the different modes may lean in to different areas of that as they go along, depending on what you've asked it to do in the first place. There is also an overarching orchestrator that will decide on which mode it might want to use, depending on what you're doing at the time.
All right. I'm really interested in this ask mode, you know, where Bob kind of explains the code base to you, because you have use cases, for example, where a new developer joins a team and, you know, typically, you know, you have stats saying it might even take them 6 months before they can contribute effectively because, hey, they don't understand the code base. So is this one of those areas where Bob comes in and says, hey, I can explain what's going on to you here, and you get the ball rolling much quicker?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is. As you say, the systems like IBMI, you maybe have an experienced developer. He's busy running the business. He's got things to do. And then you bring in a new person, maybe straight out of university. And of course, what they have to do to begin with is ask a lot of questions. So they end up asking questions of the lead developer and are a bit of a draw on his time as opposed to solving the problem immediately. There's a delay here where this person gets up to speed. And then, as you say, what we can now do is the person coming in can use Bob instead, look at this code, get Bob to explain what's going on, be able to look at individual features and functions in here and say, what is this for? And Bob can answer the questions instead. And so our lead developer gets on with his job, gets on with running the business, and doesn't need to be bothered so far. And then, as you say, our new person can get up to speed vastly quicker. We've heard it referred to as these people that are working in this coding space were musicians, if you will, typing away and creating the code, and are now moving into a kind of conductor mode where they are using the tool to be able to actually do things in bigger and grander scale. And they can do this without putting a load and a weight on the lead developer. Also, the lead developer can be helped as well. The same code, after all, can actually sort of give suggestions for the modern cutting edge, because, of course, he's been doing his job for years and years, but he hasn't been trained like a young person has coming out of university for the more modern cutting edge processes. So he can actually learn from it too. So if I wanted to create a web interface, for example, or apply the best security practices, how would I do that? And Bob can actually assist in both areas, bring up the new person and help them do things, and also help the existing person as well, and remove that weight and the delay before the new person begins to add usefulness.
This suggests that there's an agility that will be needed then. And if you speak of a team of one or two people, you know, it's easy for, say, people to adapt and change to new ways of working. But now if you're talking at an enterprise level and you're saying, Bob is coming in with all these capabilities, I've got this process, whether I work in sprints or however I've outlined my process for developing software in the enterprise, I want to maximize this tool's capability, but then it means that I must manage some change somehow. I mean, what kind of support do I then get? Is it from IBM or through a partner to ensure that my people can understand the new ways of working?
Yes, very fair, absolutely. Yeah, because as you say, IBMI, with its kind of legacy around, there can be a perception, maybe a new CIO comes in and says, well, dear, that looks a little bit like it's got this green wording on a black screen. Whoa, I don't like that anymore. I must wholesale change it. I must get off the whole thing and do it all new, maybe in a cloud, for example. But that, of course, takes time, takes cost, and it's going to be a sort of problematic thing. And as you say, maybe that might leap to getting best practice, but then I've got all this business logic about how things actually have flowed, how things have worked. And this thing has been running the business for a very long time now. So just automatically switching to that isn't that easy. So what you can do, as you say, is we can look at what we've got, we can explain what's there, we can maybe do that diagrammatically if that helps as well, and we can understand what's there. And then we can get into this code that was maybe written a long time ago, and we've got labs and experiments to be able to try out, maybe on code that isn't important, just to understand the process, that looks at things like, it's a concept back from the 1980s of record level access. This is maybe a little bit like the analogy is you go into a library and I want to gain some knowledge, and so you ask the librarian for a given book. The newer form of accessing these things is the SQL. And so the SQL approach is more like giving the librarian a whole list and they get all the books at once. And we've got the same kind of logic is built into this thing. And so, again, from my experienced developer, we see a lot of customers all over the world transitioning from this record level kind of approach into the more SQL approach. And I don't have to change that much. I can have exactly the same thing that's already running the business, just modernize the way that it gets its data, small incremental changes made quickly, made efficiently. Obviously, you test them first, you can maybe can make it move forward. And that can give orders of magnitude performance improvements, because now I don't need to be able to just access one thing at a time, but I can move much, much faster, but I haven't had to change very much. And so it can be much lower risk and move forward. And then, as you said, support. Yes, we work in IBM through our business partners on a very regular basis. IBM itself can be a little bit of an oil tanker and can be a little slow to change direction. So we work with a lot of our smaller businesses, like EdgeTech, who brought me along today, to be able to help get the support, because they can get this. We're working with a lot of our business partners so they can get Bob themselves, try it out, maybe find they can get their own business processes to be accelerated, and then support the customers. And then, as you say, you can absolutely get support from IBM as well. We can absolutely do that if there are issues here. We are building out a second generation, and that, of course, flows from IBM. And if you have other things, we are running around the world using this thing and showing customers how to use it. Tools all require a little bit of education to understand what you can get the best out of them. So you can come to IBM to get it too. Yes.
All right. So, I mean, you spoke about the fact that this tool is versatile. It's not just about IBMI and that it spans across domains. But when you do jump from domain to domain, you are looking at different environments, different languages. What kind of language support does it have? I mean, am I going to come across a use case where I'm like, oh, well, I wrote this in some obscure language 10 years ago, will you support it?
Yes, exactly. And this is one of the reasons that actually IBMI and Bob are so closely connected, is that you can, of course, do Code Assistant. You can use other AIs to be able to help rewrite things like Python. You can absolutely use other ones to do this, as it's not it's not uncommon anymore, quite a lot going on. But we've trained this to understand this use of the language that is important for IBM's world. Lots and lots of our customers running on this older form. It's had its different names over the years. These days, it's called IBMI. It goes back to having a name of AS400 back in the day. And so it's been around a long time. And we've trained these models to be able to understand that particular use case for that particular world. And then they can do all the rest as well, because we're using a variety of different models behind the scenes. As I say, Bob puts on different hats depending what you ask it to do. But it starts off from this position of understanding this code well and the more modern things as well. So if I want to be able to use Python, no problem. If I want to be able to use the RPG, then Bob is particularly good at understanding this. Again, IBM would say that it's our tool, but we've also had people come in, independent software vendors, reporting very successfully that they've brought this in, look to these kinds of languages that can be also, you spoke earlier of the kind of human element to this. You can have the code language, but maybe it does or doesn't have comments in that kind of code. Yes. And maybe those comments are in English, or maybe they're not. Maybe they're an entirely different language written by some all around the world. And so Bob can understand both. It can understand the comments in different languages. It's built to be able to work all across EMEA and the rest, be able to understand that and the code, and come back and explain what it's got. And also then, as I say, not just explain, but help you move into that more modern world, implement the changes that it suggests as well. You can plan and then implement with the same tool.
So one of the criticisms that Vibe Coding has had it's young, 18 months, that it could introduce more security flaws in the code. You spoke about Bob having modes. I mean, are there particular modes you can use to have a security perspective on the code that you've written, or how is that integrated into the approach?
Yes, very fair, absolutely. Yes, the code mode to begin with will be looking to have the most modern, to be trained up to date, that will understand the position today of what you should be doing to be able to make things more secure and maybe not using the default position that you had maybe before. So we can start off from best practice and implement those as we go along. Then, as you say, it also is able to work in different ways. So I describe these modes. There are some that come by default. As I say, the plan, the orchestrate, the code, all these things come by default. We can also build your own. We've had some of our people inside of IBM doing some of this. We've been using it to set the perspectives of the tool in different ways. We've been using one for a slightly different world. There's another operating system inside of IBM called AIX. And so AIX, there's a mode made by one of my colleagues in the European team who's actually worked on this to make it focus and target those particular areas. So as you described, we can then look at security. We can have a security mode to be able to understand. Now I want to be able to make you think it's basically prompt engineering, but set up with a prompt to be able to start from the position of security, access the security patches, which are all listed over here. Do I have any of these exposures in this code you're looking at there? And so it can be put more hats, even more than the ones it comes with, can actually be developed. I want this to understand this piece. And I can start as well with a concept of rules. In my business, then I have these kind of positions I need to start with. Maybe I don't use the very most recent code that came out. Maybe I need to wait for 6 months or forever. Your business processes can be included in that kind of rules-based engine to start with. So to read the rules, and then we can move to this task and move forward in that space.
This flexibility of being able to create your own hats, it suggests then that you also have the ability to kind of zone in on your particular industry or on a particular, specialization within your industry, and you can develop a mode that then focuses on that particular problem.
Yes, absolutely right. Absolutely right. Yes, your mode you can create. I should also actually have said that an awful, it's all, I said, as we begin a task, we begin these things. And so what happens there is it writes up little files and consumes them locally, because we know that customers don't necessarily want all their business processes and all their secrets to be continually going out to a cloud, for example. And so you can make sure that it's all contained within what you're working with, and that the task sets up various roles. You can read the file, but the file is on your business and stays inside your business and doesn't go out there. So you can make sure that it is focused. Then, as you say, you can build up different modes, and I may be choosing to do different things. I may have a mode where I'm coming along to be able to actually say, right, I've got this old thing. I need to be able to then ask it and understand it and document it so I can use a mode in that sense. And then I come along with a new project. Here I want to be able to plan for something different, use a different mode that's focused in those different areas, and it's a button click to change between the two. Well, Bob can even ask. So I've been working in ask mode and I've been explaining what's going on, but you've now asked me to go and do a thing. I'll now change into code mode to be able to move forward and actually write the thing instead and set yourself up as it moves along.
And I imagine that the different modes are also a virtuous cycle. The more data, the more you prompt a particular mode, the more specialized it becomes, the better it gets at that particular task.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely right. As you would expect, these AIs do have this kind of idea of a context. They have a certain amount they can understand, and you can point it at a directory, which has got all the information in it, and off it will go. If it begins to have too much in one task, then that's a challenge for AI, and so you can reduce what it's actually looking at. So entirety of everything is more than it can handle, but it can be very focused and look in that area with these rules, and then, as you say, use different things as we move around in different areas, depending on what's appropriate at the time.
So you have said that this tool is appropriate for enterprises, whether they're modernizing their legacy software or they're building new software using new languages and new stacks. But how can they access it if they're interested?
Sure. So as you might expect, we have the kind of free world to begin with. So you can get a 30-day trial to be able to try it out. And so that basically integrates, it's a kind of wrapper around VS Code, which is a very common user interface for people that are doing coding in the first place. So it's not a special IBM front end. It's a kind of thing from that world. And so you can try it for 30 days working in that space. We have also got a new kind of layer on top, a little bit like we were describing our different modes. There is a premium edition that's now available for our IBM or users, in that I can do without it. I can start with my laptop. I can bring code to it. Maybe I'm integrating with GitHub or something like that, and I can bring the code to it. Mm-hmm. With the premium mode, it can go to the IBM I. It's a little bit more and adding a little bit skills on top, going right in and yes. be able to do things that are specialist for the IBM instance. But you can start mm-hmm. with that 30-day trial and be able to try it out, point it at some code, get it to explain it to you, and you can do this, after all, without business orientation. So you can come and look at this code that might be very technical. Again, we have this concept of fixed format and free format. Back in the day, when people worried about punched cards, then you'd worry about the spacing of where things were. And so some of this code can be written in that very old style, which can be hard for people coming out of university, or frankly me, to read. And it can move into this world of free format of being able to be much more like people see from university and students. So I can work in the technical world, but I can also work at that business layer. And so my business user wants to understand the business logic of what this otherwise rather impenetrable set of code looks like. And again, I can do it pictorial and bring that out. So you can start for that 30-day trial by doing that kind of explanation of, look at what I can get from this. Can you imagine what else we might be able to do? Are there new things we might want to add? Do we want to be able to begin doing AI with this business, this server that's already running the business? This code, although it's old, can be very, very efficient. So it can run on a very small amount of a modern day server. And then I've got all these other processors that could do other things, such as AI of their own, and to be able to add new modern things in that space instead, which is some of the things I've been doing too.
All right. If there's one key takeaway, key benefit that either an individual, a small team, or even an enterprise would reap from using IBM Bob, what would you say it is?
So as I say, IBM Bob is particularly good at being able to look at some of these systems that are all over the world, the IBM I's of this nature that have been around for a very long time. And that can be challenging. And it's harder to do that with some of the other AI tools that are out there. So it's a particularly good area. But like we've described, I wouldn't want to stop there. That we can do that, and then you can do many more things. So it's not just for IBM I. We can start with IBM I. It's a great use case. It's the one that's selling best around the world so far. But we can absolutely do more than that. And of course, it's the same thing. So once I've got it explaining my IBM I world, I can use it to not pay anymore to do other more modern things as well, such as deploying AI on Power, or I've used it for things that have nothing to do with Power. I've begun to build things in other places and be able to expand into other projects. And so it can be very useful as this kind of developer assistant sitting alongside you. And so if you're a business user who is maybe not particularly familiar with code, as you said, vibe coding kind of world can work here, I could have my development assistant say, if I wanted to do this, if I wanted to add a new business process to my existing logic, how would I do that? And so Bob could come in and explain that to you. And then if you wanted him to, if you like the idea, go and implement it for you as well. But we can take that staged approach and plan things as we move forward. So it's great for IBM I, but not just for IBM I.
All right. David, thank you very much for your time as well as your insights.
You're most welcome. No problem at all.
That is David Spurway. He is the IBM Power AI and Security Principal for Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. This show was also brought to you by EdgeTech. Visit www.edgetech.co.za to learn more.